We'll cut right to it. I was going to say, can y'all hear me all right on the microphone? Is it working? Good. So I know we're short on time, well, I'm short on time, but our Lord, just if you remember last week's gospel, the Sadducees were trying to get him to trip up, so they asked him about giving to God or giving to Caesar. What do you do? Again, they're trying to test him, and like last week, he just kind of cuts through their smokescreen. So today they're asking, like, of all the 600 and something laws of the Old Testament, Lord, what's the one's the most important? Go ahead, I dare you, pick the one. I bet you get it wrong, you know? They're trying to have him incriminate himself. Our Lord goes right to it. It's almost like as if to say none of them really matter in themselves, like rules without love. None of them matters. All of them hang from, he says, depend from the relationship, the love. The one law, you shall love the Lord your God with not just that 10% of your heart, mind, all your heart, mind, and soul. And I'll tell you more, Pharisees, you thought you were going to like get me to say something wrong. There's a second one you might be forgetting. Love your neighbor as yourself. Get the relationship right. And the 600 and something laws will follow from that. But miss that relationship and none of them will make any sense. Those laws are expressions. We don't want to lose a relationship behind the rules. But let's talk about love as you've probably been doing for the last couple of days. Hopefully, have you been talking a little bit about love these days? It's really, it'd be a really different echo if you didn't talk about love. Love changes how you live. The one who loves what? Lives differently. Who saw the movie Bambi? Anybody actually saw the movie Bambi? I know it's kind of out of style. Good, you need to see that movie. You can't miss it. But I noticed the next generation doesn't know Bambi. I'm like, what? What? So what does Thumper notice about Bambi when Bambi's watching Feline, his girlfriend? Thumper says Bambi is what? My favorite Disney word. He's Twitter-pated. It's such a loaded word. Twitter-pated. It's like Dinglehopper, but it's not. Okay, Twitter-pated. In other words, he's acting differently. Something about his life is different. Look at any teen after the pretty girl tells him she likes him. Like, oh my gosh, that's so exciting. They write their name all over the textbook. He writes her name everywhere, and you open her notes, his notes for mathematics, and like her name's like all over the margins. And like little hearts, and you know, his name and her name. And he can't do homework because he can't concentrate. So our parents hate it when their son or daughter has a crush. They're absorbed in that person. It's like peacocks. When the peacocks are like, you know, they're showing off their feathers. They're peacocking. They're living differently. And they won't date anyone else. When you're dating someone, you better not date anyone else, right? Because they're rules. Rules flow from the relationship. I love it. Such a great sound. You won't decide what to do that afternoon without checking with that beloved person. You want to share with them your whole day. You'll FaceTime 20 minutes after you just FaceTime to tell them the next new thing, you know? It's really good. You just want to share everything. That's what prayer is. It's like, I want to tell you something. Lord, do you have a minute? Let's talk. The church says you have to pray at least this amount. Well, that's the minimal. But hopefully, if you're in a relationship with one whom you know loves you, you want to talk to them. You want to pray. You can't pray enough, almost. You're talking to them throughout the day. You're talking with our Lord throughout the day. And true love, like when you get a crush, it starts kind of immature and it's kind of selfish, self-centered. Like, I need this person. I need you. I can't live without you. That's good, but it needs to mature to be selfless. I begin by loving you according to my love language. Here I give you flowers over and over again. Like, finally, after the first year, you realize they don't like flowers. They just really want to spend time with you. Or you learn how to love the person according to their love language, not your love language. Love is more about that person. And ultimately, that sense of love, I can be happy if I know that my beloved is truly happy. It's really true. In love, there's a dying to self. Beautiful. That's why you cry at weddings, because there's a real death going on there. I'm the only preacher I know who talks about funerals during weddings, but it's real. And mature love finds a great example in parent love. you think of your mom or your dad, that way that they really just want their beloved to be happy. And they can rest at ease knowing that my loved one is okay. You can take everything else from me, as long as I know that this person's okay, I'm good. That's why that beautiful definition, love is to will the good of the other, even at great cost to myself. That's mature love. That's what love is made for in our life now. It's like pruning it, nurturing it, forging it, chiseling away the selfish parts of it to make it what it was always meant to be. Learn from Frozen, right? Anna is that great example of that love, laying down her life for her sister, even though she's going to get nothing out of it. If you haven't seen the movie Clouds, also on Disney Plus, I don't usually promote Disney Plus, but Clouds is a great movie. It's a high school student who has, he's dying of cancer. And he has his girlfriend, and he has his best friend who's also a girl. And the dynamic between his best friend, who knows that she's never going to be his girlfriend, but she still gives herself for him, is so beautiful. It's just pure love. And our Lord is calling us. The neat thing is that as we talk about loving God, John, the apostle, is the first one to point out, love is not so much our love for God, but first knowing that God has loved me first, and how he has loved me. You could almost really say, God loves me with all his heart, soul, strength. I hope that's not a heresy, but I mean, I think it's real, like, to lay down his life for me. To start there, to see how God truly has loved you. Jesus sets the model. God is love. God is all that we're talking about. That's him. And he's relating to each one of us in that way. God loves each one of us at great cost to himself. He offers up what matters most to him. God so loved each one of us that he paid $5 for your ransom. No, he paid with his only and beloved son, his own self. And that's why in the Mass, he said to us, do this in memory of me. Do this and remember how much you mean to me. Remember your worth to me. Remember my love for you. When you pray, the church does say, like, you should pray, but like we already said, but hold a crucifix in your hand. Maybe even kiss the crucifix, because that's who you're dealing with. That's where it starts. To look him in the eye and experience that love. And it's when you start there and you know the sacred heart of Jesus beats for you, longs for you, and has done so many things for you, that's when that commandment makes a little bit of sense. Knowing what you know, feeling what you feel, experiencing what you experience. That's why John Paul II could say it, right? Man cannot live without love. He remains a being that is incomprehensible to himself. His life is senseless if love, that kind of love, is not revealed to him. If he does not encounter love, if he doesn't experience it, make it his own, if he does not participate intimately in that kind of love. So he can then command of us the greatest commandment, love God who loves you. Reply, respond in kind with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Our heart is not settled, does not settle for mediocre love. Raise your hand if you want to be loved mediocre, in a mediocre way. We don't want that. Good try, that's good. We don't want that, right? We want so much more. I want more. There's so much more made for us. And so our Lord could ask more of us. And the rules follow from that. The ways of the church, the teachings of the church. Can you give up this? Can you stop doing that? Can you come here on Sundays? Can you receive Holy Communion? Can you go to confession? Lord, I don't really necessarily want to, but because you're the one asking me, I want to because you asked me to. Love your neighbor. That's your sister who aggravates you, your brother who drives you crazy, the guy on the street whose name you don't even know, the guy on the news who you realize is suffering. Love that person because I love God and God loves that person. And as a true friend, an intimate one-on-one with my best friend, like everything he loves, I love. I love my neighbor as myself for the love of God. The rules that we follow, the rest of those 600 whatever rules, are really, really, I mean, even better, the catechism, like, gives us so much of ways to live. They're expressions of my love for God, my experience of his love for me. Sometimes they're helpful to kind of test the authenticity of my love. I can live this commandment, that commandment, I haven't killed anybody, yay! But I'm messing up on like a bunch of others, like honor my father, my mother. Ooh, that one. Can we skip that one? No, Lord, I love you enough to try again. And I won't gossip about my neighbor, bear false witness against my neighbor, and all the other ways the catechism invites us to live. I want my love to be real, and my failures in love, my temptations, the way they get into where I'm vulnerable and I fall, they reveal where my love, where I love other things, my idols, more than God. They reveal where my love for God is still weak, and I can ask our Lord, Lord, help me to love you more. It's a grace. And when I go to confession, I confess all my sins, like even the ones I don't want to say out loud, because, oh my gosh, what's Father going to think? Father had probably fallen asleep. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But my confession. Anyway, when you say all those things, the only thing you said is like, Lord, I love you this much. I love you this much. I'll say even that thing that I don't want to say because I love you that much. The only thing the confessor hears you say is, Lord, I love you. We simply ask the Holy Spirit to help us to see everything the church offers us to do as something that we're called to do, as a means to exercise and grow in my response to God's tremendous love for me. Not as a burden, not as a rule-following thing for me to do, like for the sake of rule-following. I follow the rules because I love someone. And in following the rules, I'm showing that my love for that someone is real. And I love him not the way I want to love. I love him the way he asked me to love him. In ways that's easy for me, in ways that are challenging for me, especially my broken nature. May our Blessed Mother intercede for us, she who knows that the sacred heart of her son beats for me. When you're a divine God, you can love each one infinitely. To know what that means, to know what that feels like. To go to bed realizing I'm not sleeping alone. Someone's right here thinking of me in my moments of greatest solitude. When my best friend doesn't want to talk to me because of something that happened yesterday, I'm still deeply loved. When I've committed the worst sin ever in my home or when no one was looking, like, it's okay. I bring it to the one who loves me unconditionally. And it feels so good to be loved with someone's whole heart, whole mind, whole soul, whole strength. May I know that love of God for me and respond as he asked me to, loving him in the same way and loving those around me as I love myself out of my love for him. Amen.